I need your prayers this morning. I believe it's true what we just heard. And I have found in my own life, and I'm sure the rest of you have found in your own lives, that there are some battles that are only won through praise. When it seems all else closes up, and your prayers seem like they're not going any higher than the ceiling, that praise can win the battle at that point in time. If you can just remember and start naming out those things that are the Lord has done for you and blessed you with, you can have a victory. I'd like to say that my message was on praise this morning, but it's not. Seemed like it was a good introduction. But we have, this was touched on partly this morning. We have a burden on our heart. It's our burden that everyone have the victory and everyone be able to live a life that can be pleasing to God and that can bring God's blessings down on their life. And we all know that we go through times and seasons in life where it seems as if we almost fight against ourselves and do things or are involved in things that are a hindrance to us and keep us from being able to be the example we need to be, keep us from being able to encourage others. We go through these times and spaces, times of learning, times of being admonished for something in our lives that maybe we didn't have a true understanding of before. But those times are meant to help us to grow, to become more of the example and more of what we need to be able to help others. So we'd like to turn to Matthew this morning, the 18th chapter. We want to talk to you about offenses. We feel that the enemy has had great success among us with offenses. He has been able to work his works and do things among us through offenses, caused us to look at each other cross-eyed when we sit in services together. And we're praising God together, and we're singing together, but we're looking cross-eyed at our brother or sister across the aisle because of offenses. And we'd like to expose the enemy this morning, and so that we might, as the people of God, understand our responsibility when it comes to offenses. So in the 18th chapter of Matthew, starting at the 6th verse, it says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Now, we've heard a lot of messages. We've heard a lot of messages about offenses. I've heard them before. We've been admonished about being an offense. We've been admonished to be careful and not to say things and to look into our lives. We've been admonished about all those things. And yet, offenses come. It says here that it were better that if that person were drowned and cast into the depth, drowned in the depth of the sea, a millstone about their neck, just cast them overboard. A millstone around your neck, you're not going to come back up. So the person that has a tendency to offend people, what the Lord is saying is, it'd be better if you were dead. That's what he's saying. Now, you don't want the Lord to look on your life and say, it'd just be better if they were dead. Because he has the power of life and death in his hands. But I don't want to talk to you this morning. That's probably the last I'm going to say to you. I want to talk to the other side. I want to talk to the side that's offended. The one that gets offended. My burden this morning is for you. This scripture goes on. A lot of times that we stop at this scripture here. And we talk about, you shouldn't offend, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. But this scripture goes on. And in this scripture it says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire. I want to talk to those that are offended this morning. I want to talk to those that have had something said to them, have heard that something was said about them, have experienced some kind of a confrontation, those that have been offended. The scripture says, it's better to enter into heaven halt or maimed. That is better. It's better that you cut something off than to let it offend you or hinder you. When we look into the scriptures, we realize that God intended for men of all different walks in life, all different understandings, all different phases of salvation, from the newborn babe to the seasoned elder, he intended them all to come together, live together, and be in harmony with all those differences. He intended that. And he won't settle for anything less. He will not. He intends that we live together and that we get along together and that we serve one another. So many times people are offended and they have what I call, they have a pet place in their life that is easily offended. Some people get easily offended over their children. If anybody corrects their children, or if anybody says something to them about their children, if anything happens along that line, they're offended. They're offended. But in reality, probably what they need to do is to actually seek the Lord more about how to be a blessing to their own children. See, it's a place in their life that they probably do need some help. And many times, the very places that we need the most help are the places that we're the easiest offended. We're easily offended there. Why does that happen? God, in His great mercy, uses other people to show up places in our lives that are not where they should be. He uses other people like that. He allows them to speak those words to us. He allows, and we get offended. And we go home, and what happens when you get offended? You feel like it's a great wound. And what do you do with it? You pet, pamper it, nurse it, and care for it, and oh, you're just all consumed over this hurt. But in reality, and after a while, you may be somewhat get over it, and you may, you know, talk to yourself into something, and you may get to a place to where you feel like, well, I'm over that. And it comes again. And it comes in the same place. That's God's mercy. Do you realize that's God's mercy? When you are offended, you need to understand something about yourself. There is something in you that can be offended. There's something in you that can be offended. It's not about the other person. It's not about what they said. It's not about what they did. It's not about what was done. It's not about any of that. It's about what's in you. You only have control over what's in you. All of us only have control over what's in us. Through God. Through His revealing it to us. Through Him helping us with it. Through Him exposing it. Would you like to go through your whole life and come up to the judgment and find out you had a place that you kept your whole life because God never let anybody touch it? He never let anybody get it. He never let anybody rub up against you. Never let anybody hit that little chip on your shoulder. He just protected you and put you in a little cocoon and all, and you come up to the judgment and you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short. Do you know one of the greatest services that the saints of God can do to you is expose things in you? It's a service. It's a service. It's a great, great service. You know, we won't let people in the world do it to us. You know that, don't you? Because what do we say about them? They're not saved. And we cast off. They don't know anything about the Bible and God, and we just cast off what they say. But the saints hurt us. God allows it. He allows it. I'm not going to talk about the other side. There are offenses that shouldn't come, and we all know that. But I'm talking about those of us that get offended. I'm talking about those that are easily offended. Isn't it sad that someone could be so offended that they charge God for it and they walk away from Him? And they say, what do they say to us? You go and you deal with them and you say, oh, you know, come on to service and come to the camp meeting and everything. And they say, oh, I'm offended. As if that's some kind of righteousness. I'm offended. Well, who are you offended with? Is it man? Or is it God? Why did you leave? Why did you leave God? Because a man offended you. Why did you do that? Why do you put it all on His shoulders? Why do you say, well, if God wouldn't have allowed that to happen, I'd still be serving Him? Why you're charging God foolishly. But there are many, many souls out there that have done that. Many souls that have left because I'm offended. And do you know there are those that people have found out that they offended someone, they've gone to them and apologized. They've cried tears. They've prayed day and night when they realized that they had actually offended someone. And gone to them personally, stood up publicly, done all those things, but I'm holding my offense. I'm going to hold it. You can't offend me and get away with it. That's what they do. In spirit, that's what they're saying. You cannot offend me and get away with it. I'm going to hold you forever. I'm going to hold you forever. I'm not going to let it go. You can't do me like that. We need to cut some things off. We can think that we have some things that are real useful in the church of God. We can think that we have some things that are real talents. But unless that thing has been sanctified by the Holy Ghost and God has given you permission to use it in the church, it's just something you have. You can be the best singer, have the most beautiful voice, to where it would almost stop crowds if they heard it. But if it's not sanctified, and if it's just left to be beautiful, someone's liable to say something to you. They're liable to say something about, you know, sister, brother, you need to pray for more anointing on your singing. Don't we need the singers to be anointed? Everyone that stands up here, don't we need them to be anointed? Even those that come up here after messages and they exhort, don't we need them to be anointed? So if somebody says something to you like that, oh, I'm offended now. What are they saying? They're saying, I'm not anointed when I'm up there. What are they saying? They don't want me up there. What are they? And we just start in. The enemy of our soul comes in and just starts feeding us. All manner of, oh, they think this, they think that. That one over there probably thinks it too. And you know, they're real close, so now that one probably thinks it also. And, well, I'm just not going to get up anymore. That wasn't God's intention. God's intention was to use that beautiful voice. But you have a weakness. You're dependent on the beautiful voice instead of depending on the anointing of God over your life and over your voice. And you think that the beautiful voice, because people ask you, oh, would you sing? And because people say things like in your family gatherings, oh, that was so beautiful, sing us another one, and all. And you feel like that you can take something that you've used effectively in the world and bring it in to the services and be able to expound and have the same effect. It won't. It won't have the same effect. Do you know that the sensitivity of the saints to anointing is profound? They are not fooled. They're not. They are not fooled. They can sense when something isn't quite right. They may not know what it is, but they can sense it. And do you know a lot of times the ministry spends quite a bit of time trying to soothe and comfort people over something that's done without anointing. And they're trying to soothe and comfort. Because even the little lambs say, there's something wrong with that. What was it? And they come and say, wasn't there something wrong with? And do you know, we're just trying to soothe and comfort them and tell them God's in control and all. But we'd like to see God in control of everyone. To where the lambs don't get excited and the sheep don't get questions. We'd like to see everyone move at the unction of the Holy Ghost. We'd like to see that. So the Lord, in His great mercy for us and wanting everything to be like it's supposed to be, He allows offenses to come. Offenses are a great teacher. If you will allow an offense to teach you, it will teach you about you. Forget the other party. Just forget it. If you get offended, and what is an offense? Hurt. Wound. Feel like you're not appreciated. To offend. To offend someone is to be or become guilty. To give an occasion for ungodly conduct. To incite behavior which leads to ruin. Now that's what someone can do when they offend you. They can cause this to happen. But saints, we're the one letting it. We're the one letting them make us feel guilty. We're the one letting them offend us to the point that we do something ungodly in our conduct. We're the one that's letting them incite behavior in us that just makes us just ruin. I'm not coming back. I'm giving up. We let it. And when we let it, God is not pleased. Because God has always intended to use your brother sitting next to you to be a blessing to you. And He intends, it says here in the Word, woe unto the world because of offenses. Then it goes on, for it must needs be that offenses come. Do you know that God is going to give you an opportunity to shine through an offense? Do you know He's going to give you an opportunity to be offended, be hurt, cast down, come to Him, pray through, get up, walk again, and do right? Every one of us, no one is going to escape. Every one of you, I would venture to say that almost every one of you sometime in this last year has been offended. Just about every one of you in here this last year has been offended. What did you do with it? What did you do with it? Did you pet and pamper it and baby it and let it stay alive and just... Or did you take it to the Lord? Did you discover something about yourself? Did you discover something about you? And through it all, the offense became so small and insignificant to what I discovered about me. That I no longer even think of it. I don't even look at it because it was so tiny compared to what rose up in me. Did you discover that? Or are you still hurt? Are you still offended today? Did it happen in January? And now it's July? And you haven't been able to get over it? When you go into service, do you try to avoid the person? We do those things. We do those things. Do you try to avoid them? Or do you, the worldly expression is, take the bull by the horns, and the very next time you come into service, you make sure you go right to that person and greet them and love them and tell them you appreciate them. And do you do that? I venture to say you don't. You don't. You harbor it for a while. You harbor it for a while. But the fastest victory is to just confront it right now. That's the fastest victory. And the devil will have less to do. He'll have less to work with. He'll have less to discourage you with. Because I'm going to tell you, once he gets you hurt and wounded, you are not fit for battle. And he's going to pour it on. And you know what? The Lord's going to allow it. You ever get poured on? Start checking yourself. Start checking yourself. The Lord's going to allow it because, like we heard this morning, that the Lord makes a way to escape. We didn't use the escape route. So, because we didn't use the escape route, we're stuck where we are. The escape route is always there. It's not like it is a momentary thing and you have to get through it right now or you're not going to make it. No. The escape route is always there. No matter how long you're in the trial, the escape route was there from the first day. It just takes us a long time to find it. The escape is through God. The escape is through looking at ourselves. Shut your eyes to everyone else. God does not send trials and things our ways for somebody else. He sends it to us first. For our learning. Offenses. They're going to come. Do you know part of the qualifications of being a true saint of God is to be offended and survive? You didn't die. It's part of the qualifications. Don't think it's something strange. Oh, I can't believe. Is this Sister so-and-so, as long as she's been saved, and she offended me, she hurt me. Must be something wrong with her. Must be something wrong with her. No. In our trials, we're to look inward. Inward. It's always looking inward. The whole Bible tells us about looking inward. We're not to look on others. It's not their fault we're offended. You remember the names Jesus was called? You remember those? You remember he said, oh, he cast out devils by the very prince of devils. What? That's a horrible thing to say. Wouldn't that be horrible? Was he offended? Was he offended? No. No. We're going to have to live like Christ lived. We're going to have to be an example of his temperament, his character. His life is going to have to come out of us. We can't afford to be offended. Offenses are an opportunity for you to learn about yourself. If there's one thing that I want you to take away today with you, offenses are for you to learn about yourself. The Lord knows what you have in you. He's going to allow it to be touched. Because he knows if that thing isn't touched and if you don't deal with it properly, it will trip you up later in your walk. Many times people leave us when they're older. Been in the way a while. And people say, what happened? How did that happen? There were things they didn't deal with properly. There were things in their lives that God gave them plenty of ample opportunity to deal with. Things were said to them. Things were done. The words were preached. They were admonished. They were given counsel. They were talked to. All manner of things about this place in their life. But because they didn't deal with it properly, it finally got them. Finally got them. That's what happened. And a lot of it comes through offenses. Offenses are a blessing to you. I know it doesn't feel like one. I know it doesn't feel like one. I know it doesn't feel like that what they said was right or true. But let me tell you something. There's going to be some truth in it. Yes, many times, because the ones that are offending have a problem also, that what they say to you may not be all truth. But part of it's true. You better find the part. I remember when I was newly saved, my husband wasn't saved. And he said to me one day, you're this, 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 and this. Four or five things. You're all these things. And oh, I was so distressed. I didn't believe I was guilty of any of those things. And I went to the Lord in prayer and I was crying and I was saying, Lord, he says I'm so and so. And the Lord says, you're not. Oh, thank the Lord. And then I said, Lord, he says I'm so and so. And he says, no, you're not. You're not. And I said, and he says, I'm so-and-so. He says, you're guilty. And I said, I am? And he said, yes, you're guilty. And then he showed the other thing. You're guilty of that one too. And I thought, all right, Lord, well, I'm going to go apologize for those two things. And he said, no. No. He said, you're just going to apologize. And I said, but Lord, if I go to him and I don't clarify what I'm guilty of, he's going to think, I think that I'm guilty of everything he said. And the Lord says, that's my business. You just apologize. And I went and I apologized, and he did. He thought I was guilty of all of them. The Lord had told me I wasn't, but he thought I was. But do you know something? I learned something. See, I learned that there's some truth in things that come our way. And we need to dig and find the truth of it. Find out what's true about it. Don't just cast it all off and say, oh, they're just like that. They offend everybody. Don't just cast it off. The Lord uses whatever He can use to get to you. And offenses are going to come. And they're for you. All right. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And the 14th verse. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace. When offenses come, we need to follow peace with all men. You're going to have to make peace with those that offend you. You're going to have to make peace. You are going to have to get over what was said. You're going to have to go to the Lord and look and kneel before Him and ask Him and beg Him, Lord, what is it in me that is so offended? Why am I so offended about this? Very often, you may have said the same kind of thing about somebody else, but you didn't say it to their face. These people had the nerve to come and say it to your face. What is so offensive? Usually it's some truth to it. And we're going to have to make our peace. We're going to have to make our peace with God. We're going to have to understand what God was trying to get to us in it. We're going to have to understand what He's trying to, the thing that He's trying to cut off in us. Do you know you can't be successful in this Christian walk if you're easily offended? You can't be. You're just going to be wounded and hurt all the time. You're going to have some strength. And we get that through dealing with our offenses correctly. So, you're going to have to be at peace. You're going to have to be at peace with your brethren. You can't be holding something. You're sitting on this side of the tabernacle and somebody over here is sitting over here. You are not going to have a successful Christian walk and if you're not at peace with this brother over here. You're not going to have it. God cannot use you like that. He must have a clean vessel to work through. He must have one that is willing to drop to their knees and humble themselves at a moment's notice, because any moment something could come your way that you need to exhibit that. And do you know God's going to give you the opportunity to humble yourself like that? He's going to give you the opportunity to drop to your knees and humble yourself. He's going to give you that. He wants examples. He wants examples. We can't go around thinking we're always right. We're going to have to be at peace with our brother. We're going to have to let him have his ways. We're going to have to let him have his personality. We're going to have to, there are those among us that are more outspoken than others. Some of those that are more outspoken might have a tendency to hurt us more. But do you know those that are not, that are more backward and all? When they finally do get up enough courage to maybe say something to you or try to help you with something or and all, that we can almost get the most offended at them. And do you know what it took for them to even open their mouths? And do you know that God sometimes sends somebody to you? He sends somebody to you. And He knows, I know they're going to be offended when they come. I know they're going to be offended, but it's all right. Just like we heard this morning, I looked it all over. They can escape if they want to. They don't have to stay offended. They can humble themselves to me, and I'll help them not be offended. And I'll help them love that person that came to them more than they ever did before. Do you believe you could do that? A person that offends you and that you really get hurt. Do you believe the Lord can cultivate in your heart a greater depth of love for them than you have ever had? God can do that. I know that there are probably some in here this morning saying, Lord, I don't know how that's done. I don't know how that's done. There are some in here that are holding some things on their hearts. They're hurt. They may not have ever reacted. They may not have ever said anything. They may not have ever let the other person know they hurt them. But it's still hurting inside. You know, sometimes that's the hardest kind to get out. That's the hardest kind for God to be able to deal with. Because we know the proper reaction, so we react properly. But inside, the reaction is all improper. And we need to ask the Lord to correct the inside to match what we know we're supposed to do on the outside. Salvation is a heart work. It's not about how we appear. It's about how we are. Live peaceably. Peaceably. Offenses are going to come. And truly, let me see. Where am I here? 12, 14. In the 15th verse, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Looking diligently where? I'm going to diligently watch my brother. I'm going to see everything he does. I'm going to with a fine-tooth comb, I'm going to comb his life. I'm watching him. I got my eye on him. He hurt me. I got my eye on him. No. No. It says here, looking diligently at yourself. Looking diligently at you. Why? Lest you fail of the grace of God. You fail. You can fail of the grace of God. We say that grace is free. We have a song that says, free is the air you breathe. Is that what it says? We can just breathe it in. That's how grace is. We can just breathe it in. It's free. Given to us for everything, every ailment, every problem, everything, whatever we need, we can just breathe in grace. But it says here, look diligently, because some fail of the grace. They refuse to take a breath. They refuse to take a breath. How do they do that? I'm so hurt I can't even pray. They refuse to breathe. They're refusing to breathe. I'm so hurt I can't pray. I'm so hurt I can't even look at them in the chapel. They're refusing to breathe. I'm so hurt I'm not going to even go back to meeting. They're absolutely failing to breathe at all. They're about to die. But grace is free. And so, in order not to fail of the grace of God, when I'm hurt, you must quickly run to God. Before the enemy has a time to talk to you. Before he has time to deal with you. Before he has time to tell you how right you were. How wrong they were. Before he has time to cement in your mind all the other times that they've done the same thing somebody else. Before he has time to just really let you know how bad this other person is. Before that happens. Before you listen to him. Run quickly to God. So you don't fail of the grace. So that you don't fail to breathe. So that you end up just dying. Because you will not breathe the grace of God. Lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Root of bitterness. Now I've just got bitterness in my heart. The saints, they're like this. They've always been like this. I've heard of others that have gotten hurt. I've heard of others that were driven away. I've heard of all those things. Bitterness. Why? Because there was some truth in what they said. There was some truth in it. Wake up. We're offended at the word. We're offended at the truth. It says, lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm offended, and I'm getting ready to leave, and I'm not going to go back to the saints. Why? Why? Because they offended so-and-so, and they left. And they offended so-and-so, and they left. See, all of those people that allowed themselves to be offended and left, they've defiled many. Because they've got people thinking that I can't survive here either. The saints are just mean. And if we could actually look into the hearts, as God is looking in at the hearts, we would find out that they're leaving because of their selves. They're leaving because of things that are in them that they're not willing to deal with. That's why they're leaving. It's not about us. And that's not to excuse us being kind and loving and all those things. It's not to excuse us from trying to make everyone feel welcome. We know how to be hospitable. That's not to excuse that. But we need to understand the truth. Amen. Offenses are going to come. We've been warned. They're going to come. So now, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to allow the Lord to do with them? You're just going to let them fester up and grow, and now it's a whole root, and it's bitter, and then all of a sudden, then you know what happens when you have a bitter root? You know how when you get something bitter in your mouth, you spit? That's what happens when somebody's bitter. They're just constantly spewing out vile things. They're constantly talking about others. Constantly talking about how they were hurt. They're constantly spewing out. It's bitter, see? So they feel like they got to get rid of it. And so they're constantly telling somebody. And then it spreads all over. And now we have 50 people looking cross-eyed at the person across the aisle. Because you have bitterness. Many are defiled. Now they got questions. Now the sheep are upset. And the little lambs, they don't know what to do. And they're running around and trying to ask questions. Well, what about so-and-so? And what about this? And what about that? And they're just all upset because you have a root of bitterness and you're just spewing it out. You need to breathe the grace of God. You need to humble yourself and allow God to heal the offense. Allow Him to heal and yank out the root of bitterness. Allow Him to do something so special for you that all those that listened to the things you spewed can say, they've changed. Amen. They've changed. And it can cause them to start thinking about what they've been thinking and what they've been saying. And saints, go back and clean it up. Isn't that what we heard about last night? Did we not hear about somebody cleaning up? Cleaning up the influence that they had had. Going back and cleaning it up. Saints, when you get your help, don't be ashamed to go back and clean up. Don't be ashamed to go back and say, you know, when I told you so-and-so about so-and-so, the Lord has gotten a hold of my heart, and He's let me know that I was offended because of so-and-so in me, and that I don't want their reputation to be ruined in your eyes. They're a good brother. They're a good sister. Can we do that? Do you know we need to? There are a lot of us that have said some things. We need to go back and we need to gather it up. They say that, you know, you break apart a feather pillow and the feathers just go everywhere. And you'll be cleaning it up for a long time. You know, it might be that way for you too. Because there may come a day that somebody comes and sits down next to you and says, you know, I'm having a problem with so-and-so, and I remember you had a problem with them. You better be ready to give the right answer now. You better be ready to say, oh, wait a minute, stop right here. I want you to know what God told me about that situation. I want you to know what God blessed me to understand about myself, and that it wasn't their fault at all, and that what He showed me. And I'm telling you, if you'll give your testimony to what God has showed you, that person will probably feel just almost even condemned in their own heart, and they'll probably go off and do some praying for themselves too. We're responsible for each other's reputation. Do you know that? Do you know that? We're responsible. All right, we want to go to the same account in Luke. Luke, the 17th chapter. 17th chapter, starting at the first verse. And then He said unto the disciples, it is impossible. It is impossible. When God says something, it's true, is it not? It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. And then it goes on to say it were better. But then in the third verse it says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. There's going to be some offenses come, some trespasses. Sometimes they're not going to always be right. But how are you going to help? How are you going to work it? How are you going to do in your own life and in your own soul? How are you going to handle it? Take heed to yourselves. It says at the end of that, and if he repent, forgive him. Are you going to let this offense give you a place to where you conduct yourself ungodly? That's the definition of offense. Are you going to have behavior that's going to lead to your own ruin? That's what happened when offenses come. It says, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Forgive him. Just a flat statement. Forgive him. Do you know that offenses are unforgiven hurts? Do you know that? They're unhealed hurts. And the only healing for an offense is forgiveness. That's it. I wish there was another word we could use, but there isn't. It's just forgiveness. Isn't that how God healed ours? Didn't He forgive us? When we came weeping to Him and sorrowful, and we said, I can't believe I've done these things. I can't believe I've lived this kind of life. I can't believe I've done and said and been all of these things. And we come weeping and all. Jesus has the right to be offended. He could be offended with us. Look what you did. You said this about me. You said that about me. But oh Lord, I didn't know what I was saying. But you did this and you did that. But oh Lord, He doesn't do that with us, does it? Does He? We come weeping and we're sorrowful and we're repenting. And He says, pats us on the back, says, it's all right. I forgive you. I forgive you. How good does that feel when God forgives you? Don't you want to bestow that same gift on your brother? Don't you want him to be able to go away light and airy and free? Do you know that most offenses, the offender doesn't know they've offended you? Most of them, they do not even know that what they said has caused you a deep wound. They don't even know. But you're going to hold them. And you're not going to forgive them. And guess what? They go on. They're free. They're light. They're justified before God. They don't know they've done anything wrong. They don't know they've offended you. They're go on right on being happy and all, and you're all drugged down. Why? Because you won't forgive them. Brother Austis Wilson, I'll never forget the message he preached one time on forgiveness. And I'll never forget what he said the difference was between bearing and forbearing. It has stuck with me my whole life, and I learned it many, many years ago. But it stuck with me. Forbearance, to bear and forbear. Forbearance is looking on your brother and saying, he didn't mean to. That's forbearance. We're commanded to forbear. We are not supposed to look at them and say, they did that on purpose. They always do that. They always kick me when I'm down. No. We're supposed to forbear with them. We're supposed to put the best possible light on it. And when somebody comes over and says, ooh, I heard what they said to you. You know, that was pretty bad. We're supposed to say, oh, they didn't mean it like that. They didn't mean it like that. I knew what they meant, and I understand. God has helped me. They didn't mean it like that. That's forgiveness. That's forbearance. I never look at my brother and think that he intentionally tried to do something to me. I never look at my brother and think that he is trying to hurt me and cause me to fall and cause me to get discouraged. I never look at him like that. I say, oh, he didn't mean it like that. Lord, what's in me that's getting so offended because he didn't mean it like that? You see? You see how that operates? What's in me, Lord? Because he didn't mean it like that. If we can look it around at those that offend us and say, oh, they didn't mean it like that, Lord, so what's in me that's so offended? Because they really didn't mean it like that. The problem is you don't believe they didn't mean it. You believe they did it on purpose. And most of the time, they're completely oblivious that they've said anything that has wounded you. And sometimes, do you know, sometimes the Lord just wants you to forgive them quietly to yourself. Oh, we can go back. You know, sometimes our apologies are admonishments. We go back and we say, you know, you said so-and-so the other day and it really offended me and all, but I just want you to know the Lord has helped me and I've forgiven. What? Can't you see through that? Can't you see what's really operating there? Can't you see you just want to let them know that they hurt you? You go to God and you forgive Him before His throne. You say, Lord, I'm going to forgive them like You forgave me. And even if they did mean it on purpose, I'm going to forgive them just like I am purposely did those sins and You forgave me. I purposely went out and did my own thing and I purposely did those things just like I did that. If that's what they did to me, Lord, I'm going to forgive them just like You forgave me. You take that before God's throne and you make that known to God, it'll hold more weight. In your personal life, it'll hold more weight than you think you need to go and express to them forgiveness. And then it goes on and it says, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And what did the apostle say? Increase our faith. They heard that. They lived in the world. They lived in the real world.
They knew how they got hurt. They knew how they were offended. They knew how they reacted when people were against them. And he's saying, no matter how many times they do it, you keep forgiving them. And all they could say is, oh God, increase our faith. Increase our faith to believe that we can do this. Increase our faith to believe that we can get over this wound. That it can just heal up and be as if it was never there. Because that's where our sins are. When God forgives us, it's as if they're never there. He won't bring them up to you anymore. And that's how we have to be. And the next time we're in conversation and somebody says something about somebody, we don't add in our 2 cents. Because we've taken it to the throne and we've forgiven them and we don't remember. We don't remember. I don't remember they ever did anything to me. Don't remember it. So I can't repeat it, can I? Can you repeat something you don't remember? A lot of us have memory problems in here. Can you repeat something you don't remember? You grapple and you try and you think, oh, help me. I know it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. That's how we're supposed to be with offenses, with our brethren. Can't remember. We can't tell what we can't remember, can we? In Ephesians, we want to pick up a scripture in Ephesians. The 4th chapter, 32nd verse. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kind and tender-hearted. Oh, you know how kind and tender-hearted you are to those that you really love? Aren't we? You know what I'm saying? We get those kind, tender moments, and we're just so kind and tender-hearted, and our grandchildren and our children, and you know what I'm saying? And particularly when they're doing things that are really endearing to you, just, oh, you, that's how you're supposed to be. That's how you're supposed to be when you're forgiving somebody. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You're supposed to be kind and tender-hearted when you're forgiving them. It's not a grudge. It's not like, all right, Lord, I'll forgive them. No, it's kind and tender-hearted. And if all you can say is, okay, Lord, I know what you're saying. I forgive them. The Lord's not satisfied with that. He wants you to finally weep some tears over it. Get some kindness in your heart. Get some tender-heartedness in your heart. Kneel down before Him and weep and cry and say, Lord, I forgive him. Amen. And you know what? It'll be healed. It'll be healed. But you got to get the things God wants you to get. The kindness, the tender-heartedness. And even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. For Christ's sake, forgave you. Wouldn't you like somebody else to forgive somebody for your sake? You were so careful how you handled the situation. You were so closed-mouthed about it. You were so Christ-like when it came and happened that others watching got healed in their own spirits, watching how you handled it. They went home and said, Lord, help me to have what they have. I couldn't have handled that. You ever said that? Have you ever been looking on? I heard somebody say it about something in this meeting. I can't remember what it was. But they said, I couldn't have handled that. Wouldn't you like to know that your life challenges somebody to move? Challenges somebody to move up? Wouldn't you like to know your life does that? Christ in you, the hope of glory, causes them to look on you and say, oh, I want to handle it like they handled it. You're going to get given the opportunity. Everyone in here is going to be given the opportunity to be offended in front of someone. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're going to be given the opportunity to prove out the gospel. You need to be ready. So that a root, like we said before, a root of bitterness springing up, so it doesn't defile a bunch of people. You need to be ready. Offenses are going to come. It says it's impossible for them not to come. It's absolutely, and when God says it's impossible, it's impossible. When He said it's impossible for sin to enter heaven, it's never going there. When He says it's impossible for offenses not to come, it means you are going to be offended. It's going to happen. But you can have victory in it. You can yield yourself in a way where God can cleanse and take out. Sometimes we let the wound fester. You know, you can take a wound right in the beginning and you can scrub it real good and get all the dirt out of it and it won't fester. But if you don't go to scrubbing yourself when you get offended, the dirt that is in you is going to fester. Do you understand the analogy? It's going to fester. There's something in you that's offended. You need to get it out. It's dirty. It's going to cause it to fester. We don't go to scrubbing right away, realizing it's us, realizing we're going to need the help. We're the only one that needs the help. And if they never get any help, it doesn't matter. We need help. Oh God, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's just me. I'm not going to even bring them to the altar. I'm bringing me to the altar. And I let the Lord scrub all that out of me. It won't fester. It'll heal up real nice. But if you let it fester and just let it, then what is it going to take to get all the corruption out? Because it's going to lead you into something. You're going to have some ungodly conduct. You're going to have some, it says, behavior that leads to ruin. You're going to have some things that come into your life. And then you're going to have to deal with all those things. And do you know by the time you deal with all those things, you're going to forget all about the offense. And guess what? It's coming again. It's coming again. Because it was all about the thing He was after in the beginning. You may not even get to that time. Because you let the enemy come in and fester it so that he has to deal with all those things. And you never really did get the real lesson of the first time, so it's coming back. All right, we want to read the same passage in Mark 9. The ninth chapter from 49 and 50. For everyone shall be salted with fire. All right, it's the same scriptures. It's talking about offenses. It's talking about cutting off. It's talking about where people are going to end up that don't cut off. And then down in the 49th it says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Seems to me that we have to have salt in ourselves to have peace. Seems that way. If I'm not mistaken, salt is a representation of the Holy Spirit, the life living in us, Christ inside of us, the Holy Spirit being our guide. It's about full salvation being inside of us. But if your full salvation has lost its saltiness, has lost the leadings of the Spirit, has lost the kindness and all of the Savior. You understand where I'm going here. Salt's good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. We're going to have to live peaceably with each other. We're all going to heaven together. And we're going to have to be at peace with each other. We can't go warring and fighting. It says, whence come wars and fightings? It says, isn't it coming from you? Isn't it coming out of the very carnal nature? If we're not going to if we're not going to present our bodies and be filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to have a lot of hard places. We're going to have a lot of offenses. We're going to have a lot of hurt feelings. We're going to, and not only that, we're going to offend a lot of people. If we really don't have the fullness of Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling within, that can check and lead and guide and say, no, go ahead, stop. If we don't have that, we're not going to have what we need when offenses come. When those offenses come, many times the reactions that come out prove what we have. They prove what we have on hand. And it's God's design to show you. It's God's design to show you what you really have on hand. It's His design. But you're going to have peace one with another. You're not going to be able to hold your brother for anything. You're going to have to be at peace. You know what a peace is? It's not like the kind of peace that's a truce. You know what a truce is? We agree to do this, but we still hate each other. No, that isn't what we can do. And I'm afraid too many of us do that. I'm going to agree to a truce with you. I still don't want to be around you. I still don't necessarily have a lot of confidence in your life, but I'm calling a truce. I'm not going to hold you anymore. That won't do. We have to be at peace. Total peace means that we've just come to an agreement in the whole thing and we're at peace. We look at it the same way. We see it the same way. It's done. That's peace. Too many of us are just having truces. We just say, well, I'm not going to hold them for it anymore. It's not going to work, saints. We're going to be at peace. We're going to have the real peace of God ruling and reigning in our hearts to where we can have peace with them like God has peace with them. God sees all the little things in your life, doesn't He? He sees things. He sees your little weaknesses. He sees the little things that are not what they should be yet. But He's just at peace with you. He's at peace with you. You've made your sacrifices. When He deals with you, you just give in. You do what He says. He's at peace with you. You're in agreement. It's as far as He wants you to go. It's all that He's taught you so far. You're in agreement. That's how God wants us to have peace with each other. That we're in agreement. And do you know what? God sees your faults. He's still at peace with you. Amen. We're going to have to be able to see each other's faults and be at peace. Amen. We're going to have to be able to be at peace with our brother even when we see his faults. Because he's seen yours. You think you don't have any? We all have them. And if everybody were to stand before us and we just sat somebody down and everybody filed in front of them and just told them what they saw in their life, they'd be crushed. And it'd be like that for you too. No matter who you are, if you sat down and everybody came by and told you everything that they saw that was wrong with you, your little faults and failings, you'd be crushed. It's the devil's job to point out faults and failings to us of our brothers. He does a good job, doesn't he? Don't you see faults and failings in people? Don't you?
Yes,
you do. We all do. How many do you see in you? Right now, start counting. You probably couldn't count very fast. But if I'd have given you somebody else's name, particularly somebody that offended you, I think you could do pretty good counting. The devil does a good job of pointing out everybody else's faults and failures. But he's not going to tell you about yours. Why? Because he doesn't want you to do anything about it. And he knows you can't do anything about theirs either. See, you can't do anything about them. You have no power over it. So he just wants you to know them all. Why? So that you're not at peace with your brother. Do you know when you are allowed to see the faults and failings in someone else? Do you know what it's for? It's a call to prayer. It's not a call for an agreement of prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't go and say, the Lord revealed to me today, so-and-so has such-and-such, and I just want you to agree in prayer with me that we'll just target that in them and we'll just help them. That isn't the way it works. But I think that we do it. I think we do it like that. You know what that is? It's just anxious to tell a fault. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to be truthful with you this morning. It's being anxious to tell a fault. How many days and hours and months did you spend praying for that thing before you finally felt you needed an agreement? I would venture to say that some of us do not even pray once before we ask for an agreement. And you know what that is, don't you? That is gossip. It's telling the faults of others. And we can disguise it any way we please, but it's still telling something about someone else that isn't meant to be spread around. If you understand it, then pray. Don't talk. Talking about a problem in somebody else has never, ever helped them. It will never help them. But if you get down in earnest and pray about it, and if you get down in earnest and actually fast about it, make it your personal responsibility to pray for them until you see improvement. That's how we can serve our brothers and sisters, isn't it? Now, think of all the people that you know about that have faults. All the people you know that have faults. How many times have you prayed for their faults? How many times have you prayed for them concerning their faults? Or do you just know it, chalk it up, count it, expect it? There it is. Lord told me about that about 3 months ago. There it is. Or are you going to live at peace with your brother? And you're not going to keep score, and you're not going to chalk up, and you're not going to see how many you can see. But the ones you do see, you just humbly go before God and beg God for them. Beg God for them. I hope somebody that sees a fault in me, I hope they're begging God for me. Because I might not see it right now. And if you don't pray for me, the Lord might not be able to get it to me. And I'll just walk around with it. Just blaring, it's out there, everybody sees it but me. Can we pray for each other? So when that fault causes them to offend us, isn't it silly now to get offended? Here they have a fault, they have a problem. And we're going to get offended because they had the fault? We're going to get offended because they had a fault. Jesus said, just forgive them their faults. Just forgive them. Live peaceably with each other. God hates division. Hates it. Won't stand for it. And He will not stand for it among us either. We're going to have to love each other with a pure heart. Pure. We heard about a pure heart here. We heard about mistakes here. We heard about all these things. We heard about faults. We heard about how God has changed people's lives. Don't you want Him to change yours? Don't you want that the next time that this offense comes, because it's coming, wouldn't you like to go through it right? Wouldn't you like to run immediately to God and say, Lord, help me see myself. I'm not going to listen to what the devil says. I don't want to hear him. I'm not going to pay attention to him. Refuse to deal with him. I refuse to talk with him. I'm not going to have this conversation with him. I want to have a conversation with you, God, about it. Tell me about it, Lord. Show me what's in me. Show me what's in me that's causing me to react this way. In Romans 9, the 9th chapter, verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus was a rock of offense. He offended people. But did he offend them because he was doing them a disservice? He offended them because they refused to see and understand who he was and what he had come for. They refused to see themselves. They refused to see how that they held up their how they looked on the Gentiles and how they held themselves up. They refused to see how they had twisted and manipulated the law. They refused to see that God had always intended to bring a fulfilling of the law. They refused it, so he became an offense to them. And it says here, it says, behold, I lay. God did it. He laid in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. But look at this. This is a rock of offense, but then he says, then he tells the good part. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That rock of offense, you believe in it, him, you'll not be ashamed. It's the same way when we're offended. We allow the Lord to come in and deal with us and bless us and help us and refuse. We refuse to let it affect us. And we accept Christ and His ways and His helps. And we run to Him for His grace. And we breathe deeply in prayer for grace to enter in, to do for us what we need. We won't be ashamed. We won't be ashamed. We won't have to be ashamed of our actions. We won't have to be ashamed of our feelings. We won't have to be, you know, part of, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you something. When somebody has offended you and you walk into the building and there's this aversion to being around them, it's shame. Your shame. Your shame is keeping you. The shame, see, we feel the effects of what we've done even if we don't understand it. Even if we don't understand that all about it, our reaction and all to it causes shame and guilt in our life.